How are we doing tonight?
Yes.
Good?
Yes.
You ready for the word?
Yes.
All right. There is a scripture that I want to share with you before we actually get into the teaching. We're going to be continuing that we started last Wednesday night. It's a scripture that was rolling around in my heart for the past couple of days, and I thought it was appropriate here. Now, in the sound booth back there, you can go to Deuteronomy chapter 33. How many of you in this room, I don't really like to have people make negative confessions or how sometimes it feels like weariness tries to come in. Nobody in here gets weary. Hallelujah. So now let's talk about lying in church. How many of you know what I'm talking about when you feel like, God, do I have enough strength for this season that I'm in? It seems like things get tired and get tired and things are getting tougher and tougher. Well, don't you think God knows that? So go to Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 25, and then we'll get into the message. This teaching that we started, this I didn't realize it was going to turn out to be a series, but it has, and I'm glad. I like teaching series. Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 25 says, your sandals shall be iron and bronze. Say, well, why would I want sandals that are iron and bronze? I'm having a hard enough time getting through life as it is. Well, it's talking about endurance. It's talking about when you're walking through things, you know, and especially in this context here, realize and understand that the Israelites wandered in the wilderness for how many years?
40 years.
And it says that their clothes never wore out, their shoes never wore out. Us in this day and age, we got to buy new clothes every year. We got to buy new shoes all the time. But this is a supernatural thing that God did. He caused this stuff. But look at the next verse. Look at the next verse. That's not the one. Look at the next part of Deuteronomy 33, verse 25. As your days, so shall your strength be. You didn't get it. As your days, so shall your strength be. In other words, what we have on the inside of us, deposited from the Holy Spirit, is enough to get us through every season. But the enemy would have you to believe, well, no, this is bad now. This is tough. You're not going to make it through this season. You're really getting worn out. You know, you're doing too much. You worry too much. You're working too much. You're praying too much. You're going to church too much. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So as our days are, no matter what gets presented to us on whatever day it is, no matter what challenges we're going to face, we're up to it.
Amen.
Say this with me. Father,
I thank you.
But you promised
that you would supply all of my
needs
according to your riches and glory
by Christ Jesus. And one of those needs is strength.
One of those needs is energy.
One of those needs is stamina.
Physically.
Mentally,
emotionally.
So I declare,
according to your word,
as my days are,
so shall my strength be.
In other words,
I'm equal to the task.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Now don't forget that. Because listen to me, we're in the last days. Yes or no? And in the book of Daniel, it told us what's going to happen in the last days, that one of the tactics of the Antichrist, and we know that even if the Antichrist physically is not here, the spirit of Antichrist is operating in the world. And one of the tactics of the spirit of the Antichrist is to wear out the saints. Is he talking about the statue that's in the Roman Catholic Church? What's he talking about? Who's the saints? I said, who's the saints? Don't ever forget that. You're the saint. New Testament always refers to the people that are born again, children of God, as saints. Amen? And to top it off, we work miracles. Are you listening? Amen. So, are we going to grow weary?
No.
Why? Because as my days are, come on, you guys forgot it already? As my days are, so shall my strength be. We got it. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. All right, let's go to Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27. We're going to review a little bit from the series that we started last week. Where's my little table here? I had to look for a minute. I was like, is it blending in with the carpet? Yeah, thank you. I'll take a bottle of water too. Thanks, Bruce.
You got it.
Praise God. Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27. Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27. Amen. And it shall come to
pass.
Say it again, because here's a message right here. And it shall come to
pass.
Say, thank God it doesn't come to stay, it comes to pass. Whatever you're going through right now, it ain't staying.
Amen.
For it came to
pass,
and it's passing in Jesus' name. And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden will be taken away from your shoulder, and his yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the
anointing oil.
Now we know what the anointing oil always represents in the scriptures.
Holy Spirit.
So the power of the Holy Spirit, we learned last week that God has given us his power for those that are born again, for those who receive Christ. You have the Spirit within, and then he gives us the opportunity for the Spirit to be and many, many more of you are discovering that. Last weekend, we not only saw a bunch of people get born again, we also saw a lot of people get baptized in the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. That is so important because Jesus said that we need that for this dispensation. Amen.
Amen.
So we have this yoke-breaking anointing that can destroy anything that restricts us. And we talked about that at length last week. I'm not able to really review all of it. We'll just go into some of the stuff. The anointing breaks the yoke. That's that piece of equipment that connects one beast of burden to another. We talked about it at length last week. But here it's being used as an illustration of something that binds a person to something that's unwanted. Unwanted. Amen? Something that restricts. Something that restrains. Something that limits freedom. Something that limits possibilities for the future to walk in. Something that would limit life, not only coming into you, but life going from you to reach other people. Amen?
Amen.
I feel like everything's out of balance here tonight. Got a whole bunch of people crowded on this side of the room. And there's all empty seats over here on that side of the room where you could be closer. I'm not suggesting that you have to move, but it would be nice to balance the room out. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we're talking about a type of slavery. And the picture is of a person being forcibly subjected to bondage to something destructive. You're connected to something you don't want. You're connected to something that somehow, some way, hallelujah, thank God for people who know how to take a hint. the yoke is there to give us this picture that some of us are connected to something, whether we allowed it to come in ourselves, whether the enemy has placed something upon us, whether just life happening, that we're connected to something that is restricting us, something that is restraining us, something that is placing obstacles. In other words, connected to something that's not going to be good for us.
Amen.
Does anybody in this room know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Okay, it could be substance abuse, it could be sexual immorality, it could be a workaholic mentality, it could be anything that is contrary to the will of God that is connected to us and we can't shake it off and can't get rid of it, will eventually lead us on a path of destruction. Okay, it's not all harmless, it's not I could stop anytime I want. By the time you get to the point to say I can stop anytime I want, you can't stop anytime you want. Are you getting this?
Yes.
So, Jesus didn't die on the cross just for us to go to heaven. Jesus died on the cross for us to live life on this earth free.
Amen.
Free to do what? Not free to follow our own path, but free to be able to follow him. Free to be able to impact other people's lives. Free to be able to make a difference in someone. Free, watch this, to break the yoke off of somebody else that doesn't even know they're yoked yet. But you see, if you're underneath that, how are you going to... If you're being controlled by something, how are you going to bring freedom to somebody else? And so the greatest thing that we can do is, the number one, be transparent and be honest with ourselves and come to the place of recognizing, man, there's something that's controlling me. I remember many, many years ago speaking to a Christian counselor. And I went with him and was bringing a young man from the church there on a regular basis. But I got to build a relationship with this gentleman. And, you know, as a young pastor, I'm like, hey, I need all the help I can get. And so I would ask him questions and kind of like pick his brain. And he said to me, one of the things you need to recognize, Joe, as a pastor, that when you're dealing with somebody and when you're talking with someone, having a conversation, just walking through life with them, and when something that should get this much of a response gets this much of a reaction, that's a trigger. That is a red flag. Pay attention to that. Because people will act out of their hurts and wounds and emotional deficiencies. And if we could pass the microphone around tonight, we'd be here till midnight and say, have you ever had a situation that you yourself stop and wonder, why did I react that way? When you step back and look at the situation and you're having the conversation again in your head, you've come to the place and go, well, why? What was it, what the person did or what they said or how they looked at you? That's something that had triggered an emotional reaction that's way far above what normally should have been a regular, just everyday response. That means there's something in there. And thank God for the Holy Ghost. Amen. Because I've found this out. If you ask the Holy Spirit, he will show you what's going on. He knows you better than you know yourself. Thank God. Because some of us get blinded to ourselves. Let me tell you something. Some of us, our egos blind us to ourselves, and we don't see the situations. We don't see what we're doing in our lives. We don't see the destructive patterns that we might be subjecting somebody else to because we're blind to it. We think we got to act all together. Well, Pastor, you know I'm a Christian now. My sins are forgiven. Yeah, your sins are forgiven, but you're still a disaster going someplace waiting to happen because of emotional wounds. Remember this, your spirit got born again when you got saved. Your spirit, there's 2/3 more of you that hasn't gotten affected yet. Your spirit got born again. Your spirit came alive in Christ. Your soul needs to be transformed. It needs to be regenerated. It needs to be affected by the word of God. You need to immerse yourself in the word so that what the word says now becomes the way your soul automatically responds. Amen. Amen? Amen? You get to the point where nobody's going to tell you that conduct is wrong. You know already it's wrong. You get sensitive on the inside. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Am I talking to myself tonight? You get that thing and the Holy Ghost starts going, You don't need nobody to tell you some things are wrong. You know intuitively. So we need to, what's the whole purpose of this series? Number one, let's identify these yokes. Let's identify these things that are keeping us connected to something that's wanting to destroy our lives. And last week we talked about Jesus desires for us to break those things off of us. But watch this, so that we can reconnect with him. Amen. Matthew chapter 11, amen? Verse 28, Jesus said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Rest. And he's not talking about taking a nap. He saw me. You ever have that experience? I've had it a couple of times in my life. Where you finally go. And your body, you could feel yourself unwinding. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Everybody here is going, no, I'm all stressed out. Do you know what I'm talking about? Maybe you're going on a vacation. I found out I need a pre-vacation for the vacation, or I'm going to need a post-vacation from the vacation. Because it takes you a while to unwind. But that's what Jesus is promising us, that soul rest. That soul rest. You know, you can get yourself so stressed out. Your body may be laying down, but your soul's all. Your mind doesn't shut down. Jesus says, come unto me, all you who labor, and are what?
Heavy
laden. Well, don't you get that picture? Heavy laden. When you put that yoke on an animal, it presses down on them. It's a weight to carry. And I will give you rest. Then he says, take my yoke. In other words, get rid of the yoke of Isaiah 10:27. Let's break that yoke off of you so that I can bring you into a yoke with me. Yes. Take my yoke upon you and what?
Learn
from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. He's not going to pull you in a direction that's going to bring you harm or destruction. That's why you and I can't just be yoked to him on Wednesday night, on Saturday night, on Sunday morning. We've got to yoke ourselves, connect ourselves with him. Every day, 24/7. We don't take a vacation from Jesus. We don't split our life up into little compartments. Well, this is my Wednesday night life. And then tomorrow morning, go back and get connected with the devil again. And this is my Saturday night life when I'm in church. This is who I am Saturday night. And Sunday morning, this is who I am. God bless you. This is who I am on Sunday morning. But then Monday morning, back on the job again, 100% heathen. Because whatever you yoked up to is going to bring you in a direction. Jesus said, I'll take you in a good direction. He said, the thief comes to rob, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it. Superabundance, original language, superabundance. The devil's got a plan too. There's no neutral. Well, I'm just going to hang out here. You know, I really don't want to commit my life to the Lord too much. But, you know, I'm really a good person. No. There's no in between. You're either yoked up to Jesus or you're yoked up to the world. If you're yoked up to the world system, guess who's behind that world system? There's a whole lot of talk about deep state, deep space. The original deep state is the devil. That's his kingdom. He's going to bring you somewhere. If you're not intentional about being hooked up with, connected to, and under the yoke with Jesus, the devil's got another plan for you. And it starts out subtle. So you don't realize you have a yoke. You think you're free. You think, I got this. You know, Pastor, I don't smoke anymore. Pastor, I don't drink anymore. I'm doing good. Subtle. So then he allows you and coaxes you to get full of yourself because of the couple of accomplishments that you've made. Don't look at me like that. Hallelujah. The point is that there is a special empowerment, which is the anointing from the Holy Spirit, to deal with areas of our lives which are under strong control of the enemy. Let's continue, all right? Luke chapter 4. I want to move through this because I want to get to some new material tonight. Verse 16. So he, Jesus, came to Nazareth where he'd been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. So watch this now. So Jesus goes into the synagogue and he's intentional about what he's going to talk about. Because he knew what these people needed to hear. He didn't just skip around. It says he went and found the place that it is written. Because the place that it is written is talking about him. Verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Where is he? Where's the Spirit of the Lord? Upon me. Because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. We talked about this last week. Better translation would be, he has anointed me to preach the gospel to those that are empty, vacant. Okay? He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. This is Jesus talking. To proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind. To set at liberty those who are oppressed. And to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Now hold on to verse 19 because that's going to play an important part before we're done here tonight. Now, the sad fact is that right now there are millions and millions of people enslaved to bondage in some form or another. Bondage to sin, destructive cycles of sinful patterns. Now, bondage defined, I would say, would be enslavement or subjection to some outside force. Bondage can dominate your body, your thoughts, or your emotions. When a person has overwhelming cravings, I got to have a drink. I got to have a joint. I got to have a whatever. You fill in the blank. Something's wrong there. Okay? I'm talking about a Christian. I'm talking about, well, pastor, it's legal. From a government that is ungodly.
Amen.
We might as well talk about it. Look at me and listen to me. Anything that lowers your mind gate is ungodly. It doesn't matter if you drink it, if you smoke it, if you shoot it, if you snort it, whatever you're doing. Anything that causes you to not be able to resist something is not from God, whether it's legal or not.
Amen.
But we are in this world, but we are not of this world. So we don't make decisions about our conduct based on what's legal. Do you notice that our society is breaking down even more and more and more? What is, even in the past couple of months, what the heck is going on? Car accidents all over the place. People driving on the wrong side of the road. How in God's name do you, how do you drive on the wrong, don't you see other cars coming to you? People getting killed in crazy car accidents. 118 miles an hour. On a highway. Families being destroyed. It's crazy. What's happening? People's mind gate is lowering. Do you know? Just look at things. Just in the, I don't want to really get crazy here because you can get graphic with stuff. But just some of the crimes that are coming to the surface lately. Sexual stuff. It's like, what? How does a person, how is a person that creative? What's happening? People's mind gate is being lowered because it's legal to smoke pot. I know some of you are going to argue with me. Well, what about medical? No, we're not talking about medical. The majority of people are not going to the dispensaries for medical stuff. So what is happening? People's mind gates are lowering. Now, you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm going to say stuff. You get mad, don't come back here. That's fine. Somebody else will take your seat. I don't want you to go. You got no business with that stuff.
Amen.
You are supposed to stand out from the world. You are supposed to be a bright light in the darkness.
Amen. Amen.
I've had people come up here for prayer. Stinking like a skunk. You know what the heck I'm talking about. I swear, somebody went in the bathroom and must have toked it up themselves and then came up here for prayer. Smell was all over the place. Look, whether you like it or not, or whether you agree or not, agree with the word, we're supposed to live different than the rest of the world. Well, you know, it's uncomfortable. You know, I don't want to stand. You're supposed to stand out. We are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, for this reason, that we would show forth the praises of God who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. If we're walking around like everybody else and we're yoked to the same garbage everybody else is, how are we going to show them the way? Get mad. I don't care. You didn't hire me. You can't fire me. Somebody's got to tell the truth because there's too many Christians walking around in foolishness. And the world ain't going to tell you. Our culture's not going to tell you you're not supposed to do that. The devil certainly ain't going to tell you you're not supposed to do that. Hallelujah. Say this to me. I'm so glad that I came to church tonight. Now, we're talking about getting free from bondages. Yes or no?
Yes.
Now, we know this, that Jesus is very sensitive to those who have suffered broken hearts, and that's how people come into bondage sometimes. In fact, I will tell you, if people don't handle grief correctly, even grief itself can bring you into bondage. Because we're told we're not supposed to grieve like those who have no hope. There's a grieving. Okay, we grieve. But we don't let it take us over supernaturally where we're like, we can't function anymore. Now, I know there's some tragedies that happen, and let's be honest with each other, life is never the same after some tragedies. It's never going to be the same. But it doesn't mean that you can't continue living. Amen. And that requires the grace of God. But you need to be careful when you're in that season, because the enemy will come in. The enemy doesn't care that you've suffered loss. The enemy doesn't care that you've had a horrible tragedy happen in your life. The enemy looks for every opportunity to come in and sow seeds of destruction. You listening?
Yes.
Paul says, don't give him any opportunity. Don't give him a foothold. You go to God with your grief. You go to God with trauma. I've seen people get in traumatic accidents, and they can't get into a car anymore after that. Fear comes on. Paralyzing fear comes on. There could be people here tonight with the same thing. Paralyzing fear. Paralyzed. What does it mean to be paralyzed? You can't move, right? You're restricted. You don't have any freedom. Well, guess what? That can't be from God. Because the Bible tells us where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. There's freedom. There's liberty. And so the enemy comes in and tries to take hold of almost like a hole that gets punched into your soul. And the enemy will come in. And he doesn't care what's happened. Doesn't care that when you were a little girl, you were molested. Doesn't care when you were a little boy, you were molested. Doesn't care. He's not fair. The devil doesn't play fair. He'll take advantage of every opportunity that you allow him to come in. And I know that's a hard situation because it's not your fault. It was something that was done to you. But now recognize and realize that you got to plug that hole up. What are you going to do? Take your shield of faith and put it right up against there. Say, yes, the truth is this happened in my life, but you know what? I'm not going to continue being a victim. I might have been a victim for the past 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, 60 years, but I'm not going to continue being a victim. Shove it right in the devil's face. So, what's he promised to do? He promised to proclaim liberty to the captives. He promised to have an opening of prison to those who are bound. Liberty, freedom to those who are captured by the devil in our minds, our bodies, our emotions. Now, this whole concept is tied to the last verse that Jesus quoted out of that portion of scripture in Isaiah. To proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, verse 19, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, if you don't go study what that means in the Old Testament, that verse might as well get wiped out of your Bible. Because that is a phrase that we in our Western mind thinking have no clue what it's talking about. But it's tied to a principle in the Old Testament. Got to understand something. You got to go looking for stuff, because sometimes the writers of the Gospels didn't explain things because they had no clue they were going to be writing to generations 2,000 years from now on an entirely another continent. So areas that the Jews understood, he didn't explain stuff to. That's why you got to go looking. You got to go digging. You got to ask the Holy Ghost, what does this mean? What can I find out more about this? How can I research this? Are you listening?
Yes.
So watch this now. To proclaim liberty. He declared liberty. He advertised liberty being available, but we must say yes to it. I have to want it. It doesn't come automatically. It is available in him, but we must take hold of that liberty, that acceptable year of the Lord, just like you had to grab hold of your salvation.
Amen.
Everyone who heard Jesus make that proclamation knew exactly what he was saying. It brought everyone back to an ancient principle that God taught Moses. Go to a book of the Bible you probably have never opened or maybe never opened in years. Leviticus. Dun, 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 dun. Leviticus chapter 25. Anybody been to Liberty Hall in Philadelphia? Anybody ever seen the Liberty Bell in Philadelphia? Well, you read this and didn't even realize it came from the Bible, okay? Because it's engraved on the bell, on the Liberty Bell. And you shall count seven Sabbaths, verse 8. You shall count seven Sabbaths of years. Seven Sabbaths of years would be how many years?
49.
Seven times 7 years, and the time of seven Sabbaths of the year shall be you, 49 years. Then you shall cause the trumpet of the Jubilee, say Jubilee, to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month, on the Day of Atonement, which would bring us in the fall. This is Yom Kippur. You shall make the trumpet to sound throughout all your land. And you shall consecrate the 50th year and do what? Say this nice and loud with me. 1, 2, 3. And proclaim liberty throughout all the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you. And each of you shall return to his possession. And each of you shall return to his family. In other words, this is a year of restoration. Every 50 years.
Amen.
Our guest speaker this past weekend referred to this in his teachings. He talked about 1917, the city of Jerusalem fell into the hands of a British general named Allenby. Okay, they never had to fire a shot. They flew planes over Jerusalem and dropped leaflets saying that he was coming. What he told this weekend was a true story. It happened. Okay? They opened the gates, never fired a shot, let the British come in 1917, okay? Put 50 years to 1917 brings us to where?
67.
19 what?
67.
Who was born in that year? I feel like an old man because I was born 10 years before that. Right. 1967, what event took place in 1967 that our guest speaker talked about? Jerusalem again came under the control of the Israelis. The year of Jubilee, exactly 50 years later. Okay, no coincidence. God knows the dates. He knows the end from the beginning. Amen? So we're talking about a time when freedom is proclaimed. Okay? A time when liberty is made available to individuals. Now, let's see, where are we going here? We still got time. So what would happen, and you go research this. Let's say you bought a piece of property this year, and it's 10 years to the year of Jubilee. Well, that property would be priced in view of the fact that in 10 years, you've got to give that property back to the person you bought it from, so that their family, their tribe, their clan never loses for good their property. Okay, you getting this?
Yeah.
Now, if you bought it right at the beginning, let's say the 51st year, if it was just 1 year into the Jubilee, you're gonna pay top dollar, right? Because you got this property for the next 49 years. If you bought it the year before Jubilee, you better go get a discount, because at the end of the year, that property's gotta go where? Back to the original owner. If you have debts, okay, those debts have got to be canceled out on the year of Jubilee, okay? Now, I'm sure people tried to play games back then. I'm not going to pay my mortgage because next year, they're probably, no, you can't play games like that, okay? If you had slaves, okay, if you had servants, bond servants, people that were assigned to you, either people that you acquired, and I'm not endorsing that, I'm just stating a historical fact. They would all have to be set free on the year of Jubilee. Everybody goes back to their land. All debts are canceled. Here's the best part. You don't work for a year. You take a year vacation. Hallelujah. You know something? I think maybe we should start looking into some of these principles from the Old Testament. Some of you guys that go around saying the Old Testament doesn't matter anymore. Oh, honey, if the Old Testament is going to guarantee you a year off, all of a sudden the Old Testament would be precious in your sight. But you see, Now imagine, Jesus declares, I am the year of Jubilee, and everybody understood exactly what he's saying. In me, you have restoration. In me, you get removed out of slavery. In me, everything goes back to you that was taken from you. In other words, everything that the devil robbed from you has got to be given back. Does this statement now make a whole lot more sense?
Yes.
To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And he was declaring himself to literally be the Jubilee year.
Amen.
The restorer. Amen. In a sense, tonight is your Jubilee. Tonight is a time of restoration and deliverance. And God, even as he had in the desert, would supernaturally multiply crops for the 49th year. God wants to bring supernatural restoration into your life. So you don't have to struggle, constantly struggling, constantly struggling, constantly struggling. Constantly trying to make ends meet, which is another form of bondage. Let's talk about that for a couple of minutes. Is this too real tonight? Okay. Now watch this now. Think about this before you answer. Is not poverty, lack, deficiency a form of bondage?
Yes.
Yeah, if we're going to use the definition of something that restrains, something that restricts, something that's an obstacle to you fulfilling things. Yeah. But how many, don't show your hands. I would wonder how many people even in this room right now, the devil has convinced you that that's the way your life is supposed to be. Your parents never had anything, your grandparents never had anything, and we'll probably not have anything. That's just the way our family. You are under a yoke that is stopping you from dreaming, that is stopping you from fulfilling God's plan for your life, that is placing a restriction on you so that the pressure comes, and when the bills are there, I can't pay the car payment, can't make the mortgage payment. They're going to shut the electric off. We're not going to have any heat. We're not going to, and what happens? You start getting restrained and restrained and restrained. And let me tell you something. There are some tactics of the enemy that mimic wildlife. And one of them is called the spirit of Python. Does anybody know what a python is? What's a python?
Snake.
A snake. Well, let's give it a little bit better. It's a snake is like a garden snake. A serpent. What does it do? What is it? Does a python kill? How does it kill? It strangles the life out of its victim. My God. I don't know if we could ever get a better illustration of what the tactics of the enemy do. Brings fear into your life so you can't breathe sometimes. Restraining, restricting. And the more you try to get free in your own power, the more the thing curls around you and just sucks the life out of you because he knows you're wearying yourself by trying to get free in your own willpower rather than you surrendering to God, allowing him to destroy that serpent, crush his head, so that he disentangles from you. And in the name of Jesus, I pray that that thing gets broken tonight.
Amen.
Every mindset, every thought that's restraining you, every self-imposed restriction, I could never do that. I'm not smart enough. I don't have that kind of education. I don't have those kind of connections. The enemy is entwining himself around you. You got to break that thing. Are you listening to me? You got to break that thing. But you got the power of God in you to do it. You recognize that the book of Romans tells us that the same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in you. And it says that it quickens. It brings life to you. Let the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ break every chain off of you. Let it break, let it loose you from all bondage. Let it loose you from every tactic of the enemy.
Amen.
Are you listening to me?
Yes.
You got to get free from these things. Now, you may have to change a whole bunch of stuff in your life. Because you know what? I've seen it happen. God will do something supernatural to release somebody and then teach them how to stay free. We can get free supernaturally, but then you got to learn how to stay free. You got to recognize the things in your life that opened up the door for the enemy to begin with, such as And again, don't get mad at me. Victim mentality. Oh, my Lord Jesus, I've never seen a time in my life. I'm 67 years old. 67, 68. How old am I? 68. I've never seen a time in my life when I've seen more people walking around like victims. Victims. And then the culture comes along with this entitlement mentality. It makes you feel like now you're entitled to things because you're a victim. After all, it wasn't your fault that this happened. And this is, nobody's fair to you. Nobody gives you a break. That's the devil talking to you. You have the mind of Christ. And he has been made wisdom unto you. I feel like I made a whole bunch of people mad tonight. I'm in good company. Jesus made a whole lot of people mad. God's people were to enjoy his abundance and grace. And so every once in a while, regardless of what year it is on the calendar, because, you know, we don't really know what year it is. We assign numbers to time frames, but we don't know what year it really is. Go by the Hebrew calendar. We don't even know if that's accurate. Okay? So you don't have to tie yourself to that every 50. You don't have to wait 50 years to get free. You have the Jubilee living on the inside of you. Oh my God, I wish I could get that over to us tonight. You've got the power of the living God, the one who enforced the Jubilee, the one who sets people free, the one who brings restoration. You have him living in you. He's not tied to a calendar. You can walk out of here tonight completely free, restored. How bad do you want it? Seriously, ask yourself, how bad do you want it? Some people get so used to being in that, it serves their purpose. People get sick. And then they start realizing, well, if I lay in bed here, somebody will bring me meals. Somebody will come and wash my clothes. Somebody will come and clean my house. This ain't so bad after all. I guess that was one of those things I should have turned around when I said that. Because somebody's going to go in the lobby and go, you were looking at me when you said that. I don't know what you're going through. But we know this. Jubilee is a picture of Christ, the Messiah, and what he would do for those who place their hope and their trust in him. Amen. He sets us free from all types of bondage. Amen. And the most insidious ones are the emotional ones.
Amen.
The emotional ones. The people who suffered rejection. The people who suffered abandonment. The people who have suffered betrayals. The people who have suffered disappointments. Be careful with those things. Because they get in you and they're real sneaky. See, when somebody's drunk, somebody's a drug addict, or somebody's sexual perversion, it's all stuff you can observe from the outside. But there's some of us, even in this room, we got a big smile on our face. But there's a wound inside. And sometimes more than one, usually more than one, because one opens up the wound for the next wound.
Yes.
And when you don't bring that stuff to the Lord and be honest with him, it'll just keep following you through life. And then when you go, and you depart, you go to heaven. You know, those wounds don't keep us out of heaven, but they make life hell on earth. But then when you go, the next generation's got to deal with that stuff, because now they got trained and they were raised up in a household full of wounds that were never resolved, and now they're picking up on those same things. And if you could come back in the future, you'd see second, third, fourth generation still walking in the same stuff. I noticed this, coming from a family of immigrants, doesn't matter what country you're in, doesn't matter what language you speak, those things will follow you from generation to generation. People twist it and make it out to be a generational curse. The Bible tells us we've been freed from the curse of the law.
Amen.
It's not a curse, okay? It's trained behavior. When you raise it, some people have been raised in households where it's very normal for parents to get drunk and beat each other up. That's all you've seen. If it wasn't for the grace of God, you'd continue the same stuff in your household. And we don't realize how much those kind of things influence our lives and influence our decision making. God bless you. That was a good place to do that. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
If you feel like this is tugging on you, that this is bearing witness with you, honestly, I'll speak like a doctor here giving a prescription. Put everything else on hold in your life until you get free in these areas.
Amen.
Don't make any major decisions. Don't put yourself in any big areas of responsibility, because they'll always be tainted by those unresolved issues and wounds.
Amen.
They'll follow you. And God wants you to be free, and He's very willing to help you.
Amen.
And sometimes the anointing of the Holy Spirit comes almost like an anesthesia. And He suspends you in that supernatural place in the realm of the Spirit, so that He can come in and do the surgery that otherwise would kill you. But then the Spirit of God comes upon your life, and you receive an anointed word from the Scriptures, or the Spirit of God just ministers to you, then you're able to face truth and it not kill you. You're able to sit with someone and have them touch some very sensitive subjects, and you're okay with it. Almost to the point, like if you went to the dentist and he had to do some delicate oral surgery, you don't sit there and go, unless you're a maniac, you don't sit there and go, I don't need any anesthesia, just go ahead and do it. There's a word for people like that. They're called sadists. So in order for that dentist to do the delicate work that he needs to do for your welfare, it's going to involve some pain. But it doesn't have to kill you. They can give you something to numb that area so they can go in and do the work they need to do, so that the infection can go clear it up, or whatever it is, you get taken care of, that you normally would not be able to just keep your mind. You would lose your sanity. And there are things in our souls that we need the surgeon, the anesthesiologist, the Holy Ghost to come and delicately affect our lives and place His hand upon us, so that we can face some things in our life that at other times would send us into further trauma. And the enemy wants to take advantage of those areas to bring more infection, to bring more hurts. And so now, when you're in that realm, I'm talking to somebody tonight, when you're in that realm of hurt and wound, everything you touch gets affected, because you're operating with a filter of hurt. You misinterpret things that people say. You misinterpret body language. You're not capable of having a correct conversation because the hurt's screaming so loud that you can't hear the real true intent of what the person is wanting to tell you.
Amen.
That's why you need, that's why sometimes, especially in areas like this, it almost can't even involve another person. It's got to be you and the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
You and the Holy Spirit of God.
Amen.
Because He knows exactly what happened to get you to this place. And then multiply the fact that sometimes, now nobody in here has ever done this, I'm sure. Sometimes we do stuff to ourselves. We make horrible decisions. We expose ourselves to things that we should have never exposed ourselves to. So now when we recognize that, not only now do we have to deal with the wound, but now we got to deal with the guilt and condemnation because we brought it upon ourselves. Anybody here know what I'm talking about? You may know somebody. You probably didn't do that. You may know somebody. So, Pastor, what are you saying? Here's what I'm saying, and we're going to continue with this next week. It's no way possible. God bless you again. We can't do this on our own. We started out with a scripture in the book of Isaiah. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke. It's not your human effort. It's not you trying to go counsel with 15 people. It's got to be supernatural. Because most of the yokes that we deal with, most of the restrainers are not natural. They're supernatural, imposed upon us by an enemy that lives in another realm. Are you catching this?
Yes.
People, I just had this discussion with somebody recently. I don't know if it's you. I don't know. I don't remember who it is. Do you have a recovery program? Yes, we do. It's on Wednesday night, Saturday night, Sunday morning, two services. Because you got to get it here. You got to get it from the Word. You got to get it from the presence of God. Now, am I against those things? Of course not. But they're supposed to be stepping stones to lead you, because the higher power has a name. And it's the name above all names, that at the name of that higher power, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. And again, with all my heart, I am not against these recovery programs. But when a recovery program becomes an enabler to stay in that position, then it becomes dangerous. And thank God for those of you that came out of those things. And maybe you're still in there to help other people. But you recognize my strength is not in that. It pointed you towards the one who can snap that thing off of you and then hook you up with himself, so now you can live free. So now you can disconnect yourself from that past. You're not always going to identify yourself with your past, but you're going to connect yourself, like Jeremiah 29:11, you're going to connect yourself to the plans that he has for you, plans for good and not for evil, plans to give you a hope and a future. And literally in Hebrew it says, plans to connect you to your future. Anything that's trying to always keep you connected to your past has to have an expiration date on it. Yeah, that's good. That's good. I never thought about that before. That's good. Anything that connects you to your past has got to have an expiration date. In other words, at some point, you got to go, disconnect. Disconnect. That's not me anymore. Used to be. What are we talking about? We're talking about getting free and staying free. We're talking about the supernatural power of God to release you. Adam, even to go from one season to the next. I'm not talking about spring, fall, summer. I'm talking about seasons of life. You got to disconnect. Can't carry it with you. What was good in the last season may not be good in this season. Oh, Jesus, help us. Even some relationships. This side got a lot of it. Even some relationships. Relationships are seasonal. There are some relationships, God-ordained relationships, that are supposed to carry through with you the rest of your life. There's other ones still God-ordained, but for specific times. I'll give you a for instance, and then we're going to wrap this up, and we're going to pray for anybody who wants to get prayed for. This ministry has been in existence for 27 years. It'll be 28 years in September. Do you know how many thousands of people have come through this ministry in those amount of years? There's some people that are here with us from day one. The majority are not. Why? Because there are some seasons that are meant for a particular season. There are some people that came here over the years who are meant to deposit something. We were meant to deposit something in them, and then they're to move on. But watch. I never discredit anybody who's here over the years that's gone. Now, not everybody leaves right, but there are times when people need to move on. Right, because it's people that have taken what they've received here under this ministry, and they've gone and disseminated it. What does it mean to disseminate? What does that mean? To spread what? Spread seed, to seminate, okay? Is planting seeds, okay? So now watch this. Some people could open themselves up to a bad season because when they're supposed to move on, they don't. And when they're not supposed to move on, they do. So you got to be very sensitive to the Holy Ghost. Okay? Now, don't take what I just said, because I already heard on the inside. Don't take what I just said and go home tonight and go to your spouse, I think this season's over. It's time for you to go plant your seeds someplace else. No. Now, are there reasons why? Yes, there are. I could hear it now. Pastor Joe's teaching the word. He gave me permission to end this season. No. No. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Did you get anything tonight?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Now listen, we're going to dismiss. It's 8 o'clock. I know people have to pick up their kids. The youth, the teenagers next door, parents got to go pick them up. But listen, if you're ready for prayer tonight to get free from some things, then please come up. And we, the prayer team, the pastors, will pray for you. Okay? But we're going to continue this next week, and I'll continue until Jesus comes back if we have to. Amen?
Amen.
God bless you. If you want prayer for anything, come on up.